Psalm 74 today. Praise the Lord. You know what?
Praise the Lord.
I'm going to bring my glasses.
Does this help?
Yeah, let me borrow them a second. Sure. Oh, gosh, it's good to be able to see.
I've done it before. I know how lost you are.
I've got some in the office, and I'll have to go in there and get them. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Jim, how about you opening the word of prayer for us today?
Thank you, Lord, for this gathering. Gathering unto you. And Father, as I was sitting here when I came in, I started reading some scriptures, and I felt that you said that you wanted me to read these couple of scriptures right here as a prayer this morning. And the prayer goes this way. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable and instruction by numerous examples, and I will utter dark sayings of old that hide important truths which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them. I will not hide them from you or your children, but tell every generation to come the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, that his might and the wonderful works that he has performed shall be revealed.
Amen. 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 Praise the Lord.
Thank you. Amen.
I might have you read that before I give my sermon out there today.
Actually, that's the first few verses in Psalm 78.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. Very good, buddy. Appreciate it. Mm-hmm.
Read that every Sunday before somebody starts ministering.
Well, that'll be really appropriate for my sermon today.
Okay. Well, that's the reason why the Lord had me.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Okay, we got down to about, I think we were down around 14, 15 last week. And Debbie, would you read, or you got it pulled up, will you go ahead and read the whole psalm, and then we'll go back over some of it.
From the beginning?
From the beginning, mm-hmm. Yeah.
O God, why hast thou cast us off forever? Why doth thine anger smoke against the sheep of thy pasture? Remember thy congregation which thou hast purchased of old, the rod of thine inheritance which thou hast redeemed, this Mount Zion wherein thou hast dwelt. Lift up thy feet unto the perpetual desolations, even all that the enemy hath done wickedly in the sanctuary. Thine enemies roar in the midst of thy congregations. They set up their end signs for signs. A man was famous according as he had lifted up axes upon the thick trees. But now they break down the carved work thereof at once with axes and hammers. They have cast fire into thy sanctuary. They have defiled by casting down the dwelling place of thy name to the ground. They said in their hearts, let us destroy them together. They have burned up all the synagogues of God in the land. We see not our signs. There is no more any prophet, neither is there among us any that knoweth how long, O God, how long shall the adversary reproach? Shall the enemy blaspheme thy name forever? Why withdrawest thou thy hand, even thy right hand? Pluck it out of thy bosom, for God is my King of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. Thou didst divide the sea by thy strength. Thou breakest the heads of the dragons in the waters. Thou breakest the heads of Leviathan in pieces, and gavest him to be meat to the people inhabiting the wilderness. Thou didst cleave the fountain and the flood. Thou driest up mighty rivers. The day is thine, the night also is thine. Thou hast prepared the light and the sun. Thou hast set all the borders of the earth. Thou hast made summer and winter. Remember this, that the enemy hath reproached, O Lord, and that the foolish people have blasphemed thy name. O deliver not the soul of thy turtle dove unto the multitude of the wicked. Forget not the congregation of thy poor forever. Have respect unto the covenant, for the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty. O let not the oppressed return ashamed, let the poor and needy praise thy name. Arise, O God, plead thine own cause. Remember how the foolish man reproacheth thee daily. Forget not the voice of thine enemies. The tumult of those that raise up against thee increaseth continually.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I think where we got to last week, we got down to talking about Leviathan, you know. And let's pick up with verse 15. And said, Thou didst cleave the mountains and the floods, and driest up the mighty rivers. Thou hast set the borders of the earth, and thou hast made summer and winter. And you know, I think a lot of times we tend to forget how in control God is of everything. You know, and even back during this day, they realized that he was in control. You know, God sets the borders of everything. There's nothing that happens without him knowing beforehand it's going to happen and him allowing it to happen. And now, he doesn't always cause everything to happen, I don't believe, but he has to allow it to happen. And his purposes and his plan, it all works together into bringing glory and honor to him before it's all over with. And I mean, it's hard to imagine that, because there's so many evil, awful things that tend to happen out in the world, and you think, oh, how can time in the world could anything good that could possibly come out of this? You know, but we just don't understand always the inner workings and all of the things that God's allowing to happen and how that's affecting other people and what it's doing. I know a lot of times, even times when something's happening to you, and you wonder, well, Lord, why am I in this situation? Why am I going through this particular thing? Well, what will end up happening before it's all over is sometimes God will use that to minister to someone else, you know. And, you know, I've told you all this story about the young girl that went through the place of deep depression, you know, before. And basically, after she had went through this thing, she began to question God while she was in it and saying, God, you know, why? And, you know, because people think Christians should never get depressed. I think Christians get more depressed than other people at times, you know, because they trust God, and you don't always understand exactly what he's doing in every situation and circumstance. But what we do know is that we have to trust him regardless. And this one woman, she went through this, and then when she went through this, finally she pulled up out of it. I mean, she said she got to where she despaired with her life. I mean, you know, she was in such a deep place. And when she got through it, she finally, you know, was like a counselor in this church, and this young girl called her up, talking to her on the phone. She was doing phone counseling. And this young girl, when she called her up, she began to talk to her. The young girl began to tell her that she was so depressed and that she was going to kill herself. And the lady started telling her, oh, you know, don't do that. She says, I know right where you're at. I know exactly where you're at. And that girl said to her basically, well, how in the world could you possibly know where I'm at? Mm-hmm. She said, oh, honey, I've been there. I know exactly where you're at. Mm-hmm. And she says, you know, and she began to minister to her over the phone. She said she did end up meeting with the girl. Actually, and a lot of times they don't tell you not to do that if you're doing phone counseling. But she actually met with the girl. And after she met with her, She was a younger girl, this was an older woman, and she basically took her on almost like a daughter and had her move in her house, and just, they developed a tremendous relationship, you know, and she pulled her up out of it. And that scripture in Joel, where it talks about the army of the Lord, and it says, and they shall run as mighty men, like men of war, they'll climb the walls. And basically, the text of what she was saying is, how can you climb the wall of somebody else's life unless you've been on the other side of the wall? You know, and that's why a lot of times, you know, it's funny because you find very few Christians who are really, really good people before they got saved. There's a few of them out there who are pretty good people. But a lot of times, we were bookers, you know what I mean? We weren't very nice people at times, you know. We did a lot of stuff we shouldn't have, and we treated people badly or whatever we did, you know what I mean? We did a lot of things, you know. And that's why, you know, he chose the foolish to confound the wise. He chose the weak to bring to naught the strong, you know. And Because what ended up happening is that when you come to the Lord, I mean, look at the Apostle Paul. You know, his life. Here you got a guy that's about as religious as they come. And in the natural, about as probably a good guy as far as the religion was concerned as you could get, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But Chip, what did Paul have to say about himself after he come had his revelation of Jesus Christ? He said, I'm the chief of all sinners.
Mm-hmm.
I was the worst. Now you think there had to be some worse than Paul. But no, not according to Paul. Why? Because Paul had that self-righteous religious attitude that he was better than other people and that he was doing everything God wanted him to do, you know what I mean, according to the law, you know. And according to the law, Paul was probably a pretty righteous dude, you know, in comparison to other people. But yet, he was persecuting the very lawgiver, the very essence of Christ that was the one who gave those commandments. And, you know, he come to realize that he took the handwriting of them, of the ordinances that was against all of us and nailed them to the tree. And he began to realize what that was all about. That it wasn't about do's and don'ts, but it was about, you know, walking in faith and walking in love and walking in the grace of God, you know. And it's kind of neat, though, how God does that, you know what I mean? He takes people that that you would never think, you know, that he's going to do that with, and turns them completely around.
Awesome. Amen. When we read verse 11 here this morning, it just hit me for the first time. We talked, of course, you were talking about Paul and how he was very obedient to the law and so on and so forth. And verse 11 says, why do you hold back your right hand?
Yeah.
Draw it out of your bosom and consume them and make an end.
Yeah.
Why do you hold back your right hand? Draw it out of your bosom.
Right.
Where did Christ Jesus come from? Out of the bosom of the Father.
Yes, he did.
And that verse says, and make an end to all of this.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what he did. He took that right hand and drew it out of his bosom and sent him
did.
To earth to deal with the law.
Mm. Yeah. Because Scripture tells you that at his right hand are pleasures evermore.
Right.
And the right hand is the creative hand of God. It's the loving hand of God, you know. It's the skilled hand of God.
Well, they must have known it back in that day too, because he said,
well,
he said your right hand, he didn't say your left hand.
Well, and because, you know, it's funny because God knew that the things of the natural declare the things of the spirit.
Yeah.
And when somebody is standing right next to you in a business or something, and they're your most key person, what are they called?
Right-hand
your right hand man.
Yes.
You know. And You know, when James and John and their mother came to Jesus and said, Lord, when you come into your kingdom, can one of my sons sit on your right hand and on your left hand? And he said, you don't know what you're asking. And she didn't know what she was asking. But he said, you know, he basically told her, he said, can they drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with? And they said, yes, we can. He said, well, surely indeed.
You will.
You know. But, you know, we wonder sometimes why we get hit with things that are just overwhelming to the natural man. But God takes us through them, you know. And yet, you know, even in the Old Testament, you see how, I mean, look at Joseph. God showed Joseph all he was going to do with him, wonderful things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it didn't look like any of that was really happening all the way through it until it came to the end. And in our lives, a lot of times, the gifts and callings that God has given us, a lot of times, we don't always see the end results because we're too busy looking at what's going on right now. You know, how things are a little bit out of awry or not falling into place or whatever it is. But it took for Joseph to be basically cast down into a pit. They were going to kill him, and his brothers were going to kill him. And I got news for you. Sometimes, I hate to say this, but sometimes your worst enemies are your brothers and your sisters. When you get right down to it. Because of the jealousies and the things that rise up. You know what I mean? And yet, you know, it shouldn't be like that, but it is at times, you know. I mean, look at the dissension you see out there sometimes in the church in general, you know. or this denomination's against that denomination, and this preacher's, you know, getting bad mouthing some other preacher or something. And yet, instead of being an encouragement and a strength to each other, they're beating each other up at times, you know. But, you know, it's kind of neat when you see how God does these things. He does beautiful things, and all of this is you know, it's just amazing the things that God does. Mm-hmm. Now, let's go on a little bit more. And I like that you read that scripture, because he did needs to take his right hand out of the bosom, you know. And if you remember with Moses, what was one of the signs that he showed to Pharaoh? He could stick his hand in his bosom and pull it out, and he'd have leprosy.
Mm-hmm.
Then he could put it back in his bosom and pull it out, and it'd be clean. Well, what was he really showing? He was basically showing that the flesh is just leprosy to God. It's just, the flesh is never going to please God. But and God had told him, you're going to be as God to these people, you know. In other words, I'm going to show godly things through you, even though you're not the true fulfillment of what's going to happen, you know. And it's really neat when you think about the beautiful things that God does. Praise the Lord. And it says, let's go ahead a little bit. Let's go down to about verse 18. It says, remember this, that the enemy hath reproached, O Lord, and that the foolish people have blasphemed thy name. O deliver not the soul of thy turtle dove unto the multitude of the wicked. Forget not the congregation of the poor forever. And you know, one of the only sacrifices that was given where the people commented that the people brought was that of a dove, you know. And if you remember what happened with Noah,
mm-hmm.
what was the thing that he released from the ark? He released a dove.
Yeah,
the raven. Mm-hmm. But what is a raven a type of? A raven is a flesh-eating thing.
Mm-hmm.
Doves don't eat flesh.
Mm-hmm.
They only eat fruit. You know, they only eat fruitful things.
Mm-hmm.
And he released the raven, the dove, and it came back.
Mm-hmm.
And then he released it. When it came back, eventually it brought a fig leaf,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is a type of, you know, that's
olive branch.
Yeah, olive branch. So it's a type of a peace or whatever, you know. But, you know, that's neat even where he says here, you know, deliver not the soul of the turtle dove unto the multitude of the wicked, and forget not the congregation. And a lot of times what they would do is even when he was doing a covenant, sometimes they would take a dove and they would split it up, and then they would pass through it, you know, through the different parts of it as a covenant with God. And, you know, when you realize that the covenant of God is a covenant of peace. It's not a covenant of sin. It's not a covenant of war. It's a covenant of peace, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the dove signifies peace, you know. I know I wrote a poem one time, and I was told to send it to a certain person. I had a person wanted to write it down for me and send it.
Mm-hmm.
And they changed one of the words of my poem. God had given me, I felt like. And one of the words in the poem was, you know, as I've given you life, I've given you love, I've given you peace, to soar like a dove.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you think, well, and I think they changed the dove to an eagle. You know, well, no, God, the dove was because it was a peaceful thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the eagle's nice because there's eagle saints. And man, I love all the types of shadows there. God had said dove. Even when the winds of adversity blow, the assurance and confidence you only can know that surely I hold you with the palm of my hand. Nothing can touch you unless it's part of my plan. You know, and you know, it goes on, and it was a poem that told about the total reconciliation of God. Is what it told about. But it's funny that God used the dove, but I think He used the dove because when you realize that the dove is something of peace, it's not a thing of war.
It's a gentle bird.
It's a gentle bird. And that's what's going to change creation out there. When the love of God is shown to them, the peace of God, it's not going to be how big your army is. It's not going to be how many people you can kill or carpet bomb or any of these other things that we keep hearing about. And You know, I know sometimes it's necessary that you have to do some of that stuff at times, but it's really about showing people the love of God, the peace of God. And, you know, and the dove was one of the only sacrifices that, you know, it never ate meat. It only ate fruit. You know, praise the Lord. So let's go on a little bit further. Anybody got anything you want to say about that? Okay. It says, have respect unto the covenant of for the dark places of the earth are full of the habitation of cruelty. And you know, there is a lot of cruelty that goes on. And usually a lot of that cruelty that goes on, it only goes on because there's not light in those areas. And, you know, sometimes if you only knew why somebody did the things that they did that were so cruel, you know, you might have a little more compassion on even where and why, who and what they were and what they actually did, because sometimes they can't help because they've been so exposed to darkness that the light has not really shone in there. You got something over there, Jim, you want to read?
No.
Oh, okay. It says, oh, let not the oppressed return ashamed. Let the poor and the needy praise thy name. Arise, O God, and plead thy own case. Remember how the foolish man reproaches thee daily. Mm-hmm. And you know, God doesn't really need us to plead his case. What he does need us to do is to show his mercy, to show his love, to show his forgiveness. And you know, that's what will convince people of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not really always the, you know, what we say to them. It's more what we do to them, how we treat them. You know, I remember I've told the story before about the Christian comedian, you know, that was in the service, and he used to tell the story around Halloween time. He used to be a high priest of satanic cults until God got a hold of him. And it's kind of amazing sometimes the people God gets a hold of that he turns around. And this guy is funny because he tells things that we say and do which are very funny at times, you know. Because Christians are kind of funny. we do some funny stuff. But anyway, he told a story about how he was in the Air Force. This guy used to witness to him about Jesus Christ. And he said, you know, he was still a high priest of Satan at that time. And he said, he jumped on that guy. He told him to quit telling him about Jesus. He didn't want to hear about it no more. And the guy got in another room with the door open, you know, because I guess in the Air Force you don't sleep in big barracks. I guess you get a little more private rooms, apparently, or whatever rank they had. But he said the door was open. He was sitting on the end of the bed talking to his friend, another person in there, and talking real loud so that guy in there could hear him, you know. And he was talking about the love of Jesus and all this and that. And he said that guy went running across the hall and dove on him and knocked him on the floor, the Christian guy, and started pounding on him. He said, if you ever say the name of Jesus to me again, he says, I'll kill you. And he said, the guy looked up through his tears in his eyes and blood all over his face and said, I have to tell you, Jesus loves you. And he said, man, that was the beginning of the end of me. He said, after that, he said that my whole life started turning around, you know. And so many times, you know, we think that we're going to win the war with somebody by fussing with them and arguing with them and all this and that. And it's just a lot of times it's just showing them the love of God, you know. And, you know, now this guy, he goes around as a Christian comedian telling jokes concerning Christians, you know. But, you know, but he's very funny. I've heard him a couple of times. But I haven't heard anything from him over years. I can't remember what his name is.
Mike Warnicky.
That's what it warning. Yeah, that's who it was. But I mean, you know, he's just funny. I mean, he is so funny. But
you know the Blaine Bowman?
Yeah, he was funnier than Blaine Bowman. Yeah. Yeah. Lane's pretty funny.
Lane's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doug's funny once in a while. Doug Fortune.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, let's go on a little farther. It says, oh, let not the oppressed return ashamed. Let the poor and the needy praise thy name. And it says, arise, O God, plead thy own cause. Remember how the foolish man reproacheth thee daily. Forget not the voice of thine enemies, the tumult of them that rise up against thee increases continuously. And you know what? I don't care how much darkness tries to cover the earth out there. You can never put light out. Darkness is just an absence of light. That's all it is. It has no intrinsic value of its own. You know, it doesn't really accomplish anything. You know what I mean? And yet, you just light one match in a room, in a dark room, and the darkness begins to be dispelled, even though it's such a small thing. And you know, if we just let the light of God in us shine, then no matter what, how dark of a situation we're in or what we find ourselves in, you know, or around or whatever, the light of God will begin to dispel that darkness, you know. And
mercy abounds.
Yep. Grace abounds. So, amen. That's right. Well, anybody got anything they want to say?
You know, and Brother Crimson was speaking on the one message he has about God being in control.
Uh-huh.
And I was just looking over at the scripture, and he was telling about this scripture here. It says, surely the wrath of man shall praise you,
mm-hmm.
and the remainder of wrath shall you restrain and gird and arm yourself with it. Mm-hmm. And he was bringing out how that nothing happens, you know, like that,
right.
like that God allows it. And he said,
right.
sometimes we think we're at the end of our rope there. We can't go any further what is happening to us. But he said, always remember, God's got the knot at the end.
Right.
And he knows how far
yeah.
he's going to, you know, let you go. And he's the one that's got the knot at the very, you know, end of it. And how that all things that he's going to receive praise and glory through it.
Ray was big on that verse.
Hmm?
He used to use that verse a lot.
Who?
Ray.
Yes.
In his writings,
yes.
he used to use that verse a
praise
lot.
The
wrath of man shall praise you, and the rest of wrath you will.
Yes.
They'll put an end to you. Stop.
That's
it.
Right.
They'll let you go so far.
Mm-hmm.
That I read this book about martyrs, and I think it was, I can't remember what it's called, but I haven't looked at it for years. But it tells a story in there about this person over in China, and that they were out witnessing for Jesus Christ. And this was during the real heavy communist days. You know, it's a little more freedom over there than what
yeah.
used to be. But they actually arrested this woman and threw her in prison. Well, then they let her out, you know, and told her not to do that anymore. Well, she went right back out and started preaching about Jesus, you know. Well, finally they threw her in this dungeon. And there was no place to lay down, and it was winter time. She said there was like nothing, no bed or nothing. The floor was damp and cold, and she said they didn't really give her hardly any clothes, you know, just prison clothes. And she said it was just so cold in there.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she would just go over to the wall and lean her head against the wall, not lay any other part of her body. She wouldn't lay down. Just lean her head against the wall. And she said she would just like praise the Lord and pray. And she said a warmth would come over her where she wasn't cold. And she said, you know, she would stay like that. And that's how she actually survived that, because it would have probably killed her, you know, she probably would have died. And so eventually they let her go. She went right back out preaching the gospel. You know, but we don't realize he'll not put you in a situation. He'll not give you more than you can bear, but he makes a way of escape, and the way of escape is always him.
Mm-hmm.
He's the way of escape. He's the way that makes a way when there is no way, so to speak, you know. And if we realize that, even in situations like that, I mean, you know, here you've got, you know, You got somebody that's thrown in a deep, dark dungeon, wet, it's cold, it's wintertime, and probably should have froze to death. But yet she would just stand a little bit away from the wall and lean and let rest her head against the wall to rest. And she'd be praying, praising the Lord. And she said the warmth would just sweep over her. And she said, you know. And you think about Paul when he was cast into the prison. They were in the prison and they were praising the Lord. All of a sudden there's a great earthquake and the doors sprang open. You know.
Yes.
And God's no different today than he was back then. And no matter what situation we find ourselves in, if we'll just acknowledge him in that way and praise him and just trust in him, he'll never let us down, you know. And I mean, you know, we serve a mighty God. We really do.
Yeah.
You know? Okay, anybody got anything else they want to say?
I just think about that verse in the New Testament, in Paul, and maybe all the apostles. Every once in a while you read it where it says, keep hope in God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Big, big verse.
Yeah.
Those three words.
Yeah.
Big, big verse.
Yeah. Yep.
It just seems like if you know you're going through something, if something is before you, you know you can't go around it, you're going to go right through it. And you see it, even he's even letting you see it. If the focus is on prayer and praise, it won't seem as long. The trial won't seem as long because you're focused on prayer and praise. And the next thing, when you get out of it, you look back, you go, that wasn't that bad. But at the time, you're looking at this giant saying, oh my gosh, Lord, there's no way I can do it without you. And you've got to be leading the way and protecting me and whatever. And then you keep your focus on him and you get through it. I mean, many, many times we've gone through it that way.
Brenda, from this old song we used to sing today.
About prayer and praise.
And I'll read the words so you all will recognize it as I read it.
Mm-hmm.
It says, rise and soar into the sunlight, praise, using both your wings of prayer and praise. Mount like eagles higher in the sky, and you'll find things look so different as you fly. When you pray but cannot get your answer go through, when you get discouraged and you know not what to do, cease to beg and plead, but hallelujah raise. Your petition shall ascend on wings of praise.
Yes.
Many baffled birds in vain will wave one wing. Drooping prayers they pray, but rarely shout and sing. Round and round these earth-round birds go in a maze, for they fail to stretch the other wing in praise. Some neglect to pray and only shout aloud, like the beaten brass or cymbal, so they sound. They too create a circle and will never share, but much larger life on wings of prayer, of praise and prayer. But, you know, that's true. I mean, you have to do both things. You have to pray. And a lot of times what you have to, you know, there's nothing wrong with praying and saying, God, I don't understand what I'm going through right now. You know, please reveal it to me, what it's all about, you know. And begin to praise him. I'm going to praise you in the middle of it, whether you show me right now or you don't.
Right.
And if you'll do that, then a lot of times you'll begin to serve, you begin to rise above the thing. A lot of times, the reason I think he used eagles so much was because eagles get so high in the heavenlies, and they don't do a lot of flapping to get up there.
Mm-hmm.
They just stretch out them wings, and they catch the thermal currents, and they rise higher and higher and higher. And then once they get up high, they have such minute sight that they can see things that they can see things that we couldn't even begin to see from that height. They can see the slightest movement here or the slightest movement there. And yet, you know, we realize if we raise those wings of prayer and praise, God will give us the vision to see what he's doing. And a lot of times, once we see what he's doing, you know, it's something entirely different than what we thought, you know, what it looked like on the surface, you know. And you know, if we'll just learn to just praise God in all things, pray without ceasing. And that praying without ceasing is having an attitude of prayer. Just where you're acknowledging him and you're saying, Lord, I praise you today. I'm acknowledging you. I know you're in control. I'm not going to fret and struggle about this or that, you know. And once you do that, you know, you've gained a surpassing victory already, you know. Praise the Lord. Anybody else?
You know, I requested prayer last week about meeting together with women. I'm just so excited because I was at a funeral and I had discussed how me and Sue would just be visiting together and how God's presence would come and we'd be praying. That's when he gave me that vision, you know, for you. And so the lady, I was talking to her, she used to go to Church of God where I met, and we were sitting talking, and I said, Sue and I've been having such a desire, and I know God's put it in our heart to get together with other women and just meet before, you know, God as to what he would have. And she said she'd been having that desire so much.
Mm.
And so she said, well, let's set a time in the first of the year after the holidays. So yesterday was the first gathering. And all the ones she had in her tablet, she was reading, the ones that God put on her heart to act. And every one of those women had the same desire God had put in their hearts. We met together yesterday. There was 8 of us. God so moved when we met together and just shared and praised. And the one lady I told you I requested prayer, her husband had just died. And she told about he wanted to be cremated and didn't want a service or anything. He's a Christian, all. They had really his service while he was living at their house. His family came in, her children. He was in hospice because they had cancer. His, of the 4 daughters, 3 of them are nurses. They took care of him. His son was going to get married later in the year. They decided to get married now while he was still living, that he could be there.
Awesome.
And how God moved in the scriptures and how they were singing. And they said for 3 hours they sang hymns. And just how God moved, it was so beautiful. She was sharing that with us, you know, yesterday. And we're meeting together. We're going to meet once a month for right now. But it was just so precious. You know, all the ones that she had talked to for all the ones that came. And all of them had a desire in their heart to get together with other women. So I know God's going to move mightily. Yes, it was. And I'm just really excited, you know, about it and when we shared. And God showed that we were sisters of covenant. That he gave me this word that we were sisters of God's covenant. This is what he has put forth. And then he gave me the scripture in Ezekiel about the dry bones. And that as we pray, what he's going to do in her banner, and he and it was so anointed. I'm just really excited about it, and I look so forward to coming down here every Sunday too, sharing, and then having this also, and it's just, I'm just excited about what God's doing. I know this is just new. She was saying this is new beginnings because there was 7 of us, and then her mother lives with her. And she's a precious Christian, and she came and joined with us, so that made 8, and she was sharing about new beginnings, the lady, the first South we were at, and it was just beautiful.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, Rich, how about you closing the word of prayer for nobody else has anything to say?
Thank you, Father.
Precious Father, truly is spirit and life to us. And Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come together as one to be able to rightly divide that word. Lord, we pray a lot of people traveling starting next week. Some already started, but we just pray that you would give them traveling mercies, Lord, that everyone would get to their destination and arrive back home safely over the next month or two. And Lord, that you would show up mightily in our service today, Lord. Bring your anointing that would break yokes and that would reveal Jesus Christ to each and every person sitting out there today. We thank you for all in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.